the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, April, how are you?
Good, welcome, welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney. I love that, how the doorbell rings. Coming right in and we're just doing the thing. Brains, look who I have here. This is Brandy Chase. And she is coming here to talk to us about some very powerful personal things that she's been through, that she's going through, and that she's going to help others through here on the Edge. Let me put my earpiece in because I don't want to miss a beat. So, Brandy, tell us a little bit about you.
Hi, April. Thank you so much for having me. My name's Brandy Chase, and I'm a life balance coach with Serenimity. And I came to coaching through my own trials of life.
Well, you know, when life gives you lemons, you make lemonades, and that's what you did. When you got the diagnosis of you and your son both being subjected to cancer, what was that experience like?
Originally, he was diagnosed 6 months before me, so that was really scary, not knowing, we didn't know what was wrong with him for like 2 months, or for 2 weeks, I'm sorry. And it was really scary just watching him, you know, get sicker and sicker. And I mean, he looked like he was gonna die. And so as a mom, that was really scary. But you know, something told me that he was really sick, but he was gonna be okay. So, and then my diagnosis came 6 months later after he, you know, he thought he was, he went through chemo. It didn't work. He went through chemo again. It didn't work, but he thought he was better. So he went to go live with his dad during that time. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of friction that was with that. And that was when I hired my own coach, actually. And then they told us that he needed a bone marrow transplant.
Wow. Stop right there. You know, that folks don't sign up for that. He was very lucky. Did he get the transplant?
He did get the transplant. He didn't have a match. So there was the option of what's called a haplomatch, which could have been a sibling. He didn't have a full sibling. I do have two other kids, but they don't have the same dad. And then, or myself or his dad giving the match. Well, I was very stuck in my ego then. And I thought, well, there's no way I'm going to let his dad, you know, give his bone marrow. Like, I'm going to do it. I have to be the savior.
Really?
Yeah.
You went through that?
I did.
And you know what? Years ago, I remember that there was a family that conceived a child for that child's bone marrow to be transferred into their child that has cancer now. Do you remember?
Wow.
That blew my wig back. I was like, wow, that's
amazing.
Yeah, they did that. They had a baby so that that baby would be a match, and it was a match. That was an incredible story too. So, wow, so you went through that whole headspace. That was heavy.
Yeah. And right during that time, I mean, literally, like, they want me to come in for testing to see who is a better match, myself or his dad, because there's other things that they test. I can't remember what the word was, but anyway, and I found my lump. Like, it just,
wow.
It was there. It was big. It showed itself to me. And I knew right away, I knew I had cancer.
So now you had cancer and it was 4-stage, girl? It just popped up out of nowhere.
Well.
So distracted, you know, I mean, was your head in another place that you were ignoring the signs and the symptoms and saying, no, it's not, you know, is it, were you just really fighting it? Because I understand that.
Denial, yeah.
Please.
I was so, well, the last 6 months we had been dealing with him, you know, being sick. And, you know, the year prior to that, I had dealt with him, you know, leaving to go live with his dad for the first time. And then we had moved, my husband got laid off. And I think it was just, you know, and I wasn't dealing with anything. I was just like putting everything into my work, right? I just was skating by and not dealing with anything. And so I think I decided to finally like pay attention to my body, or I was paying attention because I knew he needed bone marrow. I don't know. It's weird.
All right. So now then you come upon the stage and you say, you know what? I can't do this. This is some heavy lifting. I need a crane. You got not one, but two coaches. Tell us about your coaches.
So my first coach, I only had one at a time during this time. I hired her when my son went to go live with his dad, that second time after he, you know, thought his cancer was gone and it wasn't. And, you know, she really held a beautiful space for me for what I was going through. And she ended up being there when I was diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, I have all this stuff going on, and I'm, she's holding this space for me, and she's, you know, I can feel her empathy for me, and you know, her sympathy or whatever. And one day I'm telling her my sob story about how mean Jacob is my son, and his dad are to me, because I thought they were mean to me.
Oh, bless your heart. How could they do that to you with those big old dimples? Who could they do?
Yeah, and I'm really in my story, and I'm really in victim, and I'm just telling her
right.
how terrible this is. And she finally says to me, she said, I don't give a, she yells at me. She's like, I don't give a F what they think or say.
Girl, wait, she pulled the F bomb out on you?
And I was like,
wow.
I was just like, I was stunned, like, that she said, I was stunned that, I wasn't stunned that she yelled at me, because I needed to be yelled at a lot of times during that period. But I was stunned. I was like, oh my gosh, It doesn't matter. All the stuff that they're saying, all like, what a terrible mom, whatever, how crazy I am, whatever they wanted to say, none of that mattered until I gave it power. And I was giving them all of my power.
No, you didn't. You didn't give them all your power. You reclaimed some of it, because look at you. You look absolutely radiant. Tell us about your second coach.
So when I decided to go to coaching school, after I was done with my treatments, I was at stage 4 breast cancer. You have to get like scans every, you know, 3 months or however often. And so I was going through this period. This was in 2017. No, 2018. And every time I would go in, there would be something new that would pop up on my scan. There would be, you know, something on my thyroid, like something on my collarbone, like something on my lung. Like every time I went in, it was always something new to watch or follow up with. And I'd stress. Well, I'm working with this coach during this year. And for the first time, somebody made me, and I have to give, her name's Dory. She's amazing. Somebody made me slow down and feel what was happening with myself. Mm. Like, feel my feelings.
Wow.
And sit with my feelings.
Right.
And process them and let all of that out. Like, there was so much, like, I was holding inside. Mm. And it literally was killing me. Mm. Like, I truly believe that.
It was killing you more than maybe the cancer.
Well, let me tell you this story. So I'm working with her this whole time. We work long sessions, and we go really, really deep. And we're doing this for, you know, well, I worked with her for longer than this. But in December, come December, we're in a session, and we're working on some really heavy stuff, and she's making me feel it. So she has the feeling, and she has me find it in my body. And I'm like, okay, I can feel it in my body. And after, you know, we did our thing, and I just said to her, I said, oh my gosh, Dory, if I could feel like these emotions in my body that I've never let out my whole entire life,
right.
Like, what if, like, that was part of my cancer?
Absolutely. You know, because I have had deep meditations where I've seen things, And it's like I can laser focus on that and it kind of implode. So, I mean, when you're doing that deep work, you're really penetrating it. And a lot of people that come on my show, they tell me all the time that it's not the disease itself. It's the root cause.
Yeah.
You know, that's crazy.
I have to tell you what happened after that. So she doesn't say anything. She's just quiet. She's the beautiful human. And I get off the phone with her and I'm just like thinking, like my mind is blown, right? It's like the light bulb finally went off and Brandy's finally paying attention. Mm. And I said to myself, I don't want cancer anymore. Mm. And I am telling you, I got chills over my whole entire body. It was the strangest feeling. Mm. And then I got this message that my cancer was gone, like in my head. Okay. The next day, the next 2 days, I had doctor's appointments. One of them was to check. When you have cancer, the doctors freak out when they see anything. So I had to go to a retina specialist because the optometrist thought she saw a tumor growing on my eye. Oh my God. So I go to this retina specialist and he's like, you're fine. It's a freckle. Then I had a scan and I went to the scan. Remember everything, I keep having all this stuff pop up on my scans.
Right.
I go to the scan and I get my scan done. You don't get the results right away, but I'm in bed, you know, a couple nights later and I'm reading my results on my phone because that's what I do. I don't wait for the doctor to call me. I'm reading the results on my phone and for the very first time, there's nothing on my scan. Wow. For the very first time. Wow. And I just bawled. Like there was so much like,
I know, I can imagine
stress with that.
I can imagine. So, you know, so you're going deep and you're now helping others, you know, now you have your coaching certificate. Tell us a little bit about your program and the great blog you have.
Yes. Can I just say something first?
Absolutely.
Something that I realized with the cancer and what happened that night is I think that I was holding on to this cancer. Mm. If I could hold on to it, then nothing else can happen to me, right? Like nobody can tell me I'm going to die because I'm already claiming it and nobody can take it. Like that was like a way for me to control. And I think that I think other people can do this, right? We can hold on to our diseases or our depression or our anxiety almost as a way to keep us safe. And I feel like that's why I'm coaching, right? Like I want to help these women. I want to help other women who have been in my shoes, who, you know, maybe they're turning out like I was, you know, looking to blame my ex-husband and my son for all of my problems and never taking any real ownership and becoming the victim. And so, yes, I have a group program.
Let me interject there. Let me ask you a question from the flip side, because everybody's not going to survive, Brandy. Okay. Now we keep it 100 here on the edge. What do you say to the person that has to surrender? That is not going to, you know, that's not going to make it. You know, how do you comfort them through the transition? How do you walk the walk with them?
I think that's a really good question. And I don't think our mental is everything. Like I think it is all encompassing, right? And I think there are going to be those times that's your time to go. We're all going to die someday. And I think, you know, being able to accept that when that really is your destiny, or really being able to sit with the possibility and what you could be grateful for that's already, you know, right in front of me, or what you already lived, or, you know, what lives you have touched, and just really, you know, looking at that.
Right. Okay. And with a positive outlook, because again, there's three sides to every story, yours, mine, and the truth. And the truth is we are going to aspire, but where do we go with that? How do we sit with that? You know, because some people, I've had grief recovery specialists on my show, and they talk about how you live your life is how you enter the gates to your next afterlife? Is it with exhilaration? Is it with fear? Is it with anxiety? You know, is it combative? So it's how you live your life. So you're doing a great job. So tell us about the program that you have and the blog that you have.
Okay. So my program is a group program that we meet online, and we meet weekly. What it's going to be, I'm going to start one every quarter now. I've done two already, and the new schedule is going to be every quarter. We meet online, and it's just a way of helping women like connect with themselves. The reason I was in so much pain and the reason I was struggling was because I wasn't connecting with myself. Mm. And now that I've learned how to do that, I want to teach other women how to do that, how to know, you know, what's happening with them and what to do with all these feelings.
Give us one or two takeaways. When we work with you, what is the power and the punch with working with Brandy? How do you connect?
Well, part of it is noticing when you are triggered and noticing what that's about and noticing, you know, if you're putting, you know, something that's inside of you onto somebody else, right, or knowing if somebody else is acting out in a way that that's about them and not about you. And so we work a lot with that. And what are your feelings trying to show you? You know, do you need some? Usually if there's a negative feeling, there's a need under that. And so what are your feelings trying to tell you? And what do you do with that? Right. And, you know, really just things that I teach them to just really start paying attention to their lives and what's happening with them, what's really going on with them.
And also past life, you know, your childhood, your formative years are very, very prominent. They are the blueprint of how you're going to live the rest of your life. So many people will attest to that. I mean, it's just common knowledge. But what do you say about, you know, the dynamics of being a parent, trying to be everything to everybody, trying to recover and heal? And, you know, how do they even take that first step? What would you recommend in trying to get it together? Because it's a lot of work. And it's, you know, you can't be compartmentalized. You know, your life is still going on. It's still evolving. How do you take these baby steps, manageable steps?
We absolutely have to take time for ourselves. We have to take time, you know, to process what's happening with us so that we can be our best for the families that we're taking care of.
Right. Right, right. Because it's a lot of responsibility. So did we talk about the blog? Tell us about the blog. I like the blog. And you do some Facebook Lives too, right?
Yeah, so I have a group that I go live in frequently. And I just talk about, you know, whatever lessons are coming up for me. I share a lot of my story and what's happening and, you know, what lessons we're talking about in the group or whatever on my coaching group. And so the blog is about, it's different things. So I write in there just about what I'm inspired to write. So one of my blogs is about me losing my hair and deciding to finally go bald in public when I had to like cover my head so much that I put a scarf and a hat on. So wow. Nobody would see my naked head because I was that scared to show it.
You know, that's your vulnerability. That's your brain. And I get it, you know, hair options. And they say that the scalp is very tender during that time as well. So to even have something as tight of as a cap or something on to wear a wig can be very uncomfortable, you know, but then you got to be very vulnerable and really see the true essence of who you are. I mean, you were stripped down to, you know,
No eyelashes, no eyebrows, no hair. I really felt like I looked like an alien, and so to be able to.
I'm sorry, I was going to ask you, what kind of treatment, if you don't mind me asking, did you opt to use?
I did chemo and radiation and a lumpectomy.
Wow. And so the recovery was very long, or, you know, because you had
about a year to get through all of that.
Wow. Wow. And so how did that impact your current relationship? I know that you're married now, but, you know, and I say this with love, men brains, okay? But y'all get weird when we get sick. You know, when you get sick, it's, you know, like infancy stage, but we get sick or the child gets sick sometimes, and it can really put a strain on the relationship.
I'm so glad you asked me that. I have the most amazing, supportive, beautiful husband I could ever ask for. He was a dream. Like, really, like, kids, mentally, like, just knowing that, like, I was in my stuff and I just had to, like, get through it, and just, like, he just holds this space of, like, no expectations and just, like, love and patience for me. It's just so beautiful. Still to this day, that's how he is. But I want to share something with you about that. I'm glad you asked me. Something that was very interesting was I never, before I'd done a lot of my work that I'd done with Dory, so really while I was sick, I never shared with him how scared I was that I was going to die. So I wasn't willing to be vulnerable with him about what was happening with me. And I think we, a lot of us do that, right? We don't want to connect and let people see like how we're really feeling and let them see that we're weak. And I didn't want to do that with him until Dory actually called me out on it. And she's like, "Do you ever talk to him about this?" And I was like, "No." So now we have these conversations. We have these beautiful, deep conversations about what's happening with us. And we share that. And it's so right. Beautiful.
Right, right. I've been married 35 years, baby. Okay.
15.
Yes, bravo. Because a conversation is key. Just tell me what's on your mind. I might be down with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never know. But if you don't tell me, you don't converse with me, I can't read your mind. You know, no matter how hard we try. Talking about reading minds, who pours into you? Who keeps you strong on the cutting edge that you're able to translate this information and transfer it organically into your clients and to your group?
Well, my husband, number one, my three boys, they're amazing, loving, like they love their mama, and it really helps keep me shine. And I firmly believe in my own coaching. I have several coaches that I use for different things. So I'm a firm believer in the process. So I have a big support system and my beautiful friends, of course, as well.
Right. So again, I think I asked this question, but it's a big $25 word, coach. Define that for me.
A coach in my definition would be somebody to help lead you forward, like somebody to ask the right questions and make you think and help you find your own answers. We don't have the answers, but we help you see what is inside of you that you can't see yourself quite yet.
Is that through is it through meditation? Is it through, you know, food? Is it through conversations? Is it through journaling? Is it through vision boarding, or all of the above?
A lot of conversation, a lot of tools. I'll use different tools for different things to help people get a see. And that's mostly how I work with clients right now.
Okay. Well, that sounds like, so what do you do for fun? Okay. When you're not, healing the world of their heart's pains or physical ailments, what do you do just to have a good time?
Well, I play with the family. Of course, we have a Razor, which is like a side-by-side four-wheeler, and we have lots of trails out here. We just got it. So we're just starting to get out and explore. And
girl, let me tell you my experience. I'm in down here in San Diego. So we go over to Cabo, and I get on one, I get my mask, and I'm riding and get up the sand dune all the way and can't get it all the way over. I didn't realize how dangerous those machines could be. If you don't have enough thrust and get up over there and that sucker tilts over, just be safe, but I'm sure you'll have a good time. But they can be very powerful, very powerful. I thought that was cool. Just easy. Mm-mm. Another thing they have out here in San Diego now is those Razor scooters. Do you have those in your city?
Oh, uh-huh.
They are so annoying. They are. I mean, they have on sandals. They're going about 20 miles an hour. They don't have the things. They have no helmets. You know, you got to be careful, brains.
Yeah.
You know? So you are careful. You are careful with people's hearts. You're careful with their minds. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you if they want to follow you on your blog and they want to get in contact with you to do some work. And spell it out for us, because it's a very unique spelling.
Yes, it's Serenimity, and I have a Facebook page. I'm on Instagram, LinkedIn, and I have a website. It's Serenimity.
Wow. Brains, go check it out, okay? Get you some Serenimity in your life, okay? It's important that we just chill out, you know? That's what I'm focusing on, is just relax. Just stay in the present. Don't be trying to aspire higher all the time. Just sometimes you just got to just level it out. Just ride the wave, right, Brandy?
Yeah. Yes, for sure.
And thank you so much for riding the wave with me here on The Edge. Go back and listen to other edgy conversations here. We're going to have this up on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to have it on YouTube, Spotify, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, all over the planet, okay? Leave a comment and subscribe to me and Brandy Chase, all right? Thank you, Brains. I love you from the bottom of my socks because my heart just isn't deep enough. Bye, Brain.
Bye, April. Thank you.
All right.
Bye, Brains.